This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And Ypsilanti is our home. That is a community that we have been calling home from day one of WEMU. And we are so happy to be partnered with Concentrate Media on this project as the media partner, because as an organization that's based in Ypsilanti, we look around and we see all these great things happening in and around our community, our resources available for people in our community, great people wanting to help each other out, and not enough media to talk about all these things. So when we were presented with this opportunity to partner up with Concentrate Media, we jumped at the opportunity, and having Sarah Rigg in the mix just makes it even that much sweeter. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
And what do you got going on for us this week? I think this is an interesting one because it's a big anniversary.
Absolutely. Ozone House, which serves homeless and runaway youth, has been headquarters in Ann Arbor for 50 years. And they are creating a new custom-built location in Ypsilanti right off the bus line to be closer to the population that they tend to serve more. And it's a way for them to both consolidate, because they're in several different locations right now, while also expanding. And I've brought with me Bara, who was formerly served by Ozone House and is now part of their Speak Out program, and Dawn Espy, who is the education program manager for Ozone House.
All right, so Dawn, I'm going to ask you first off, just for people that aren't familiar, although I would hope by now most people in our community would know, what is Ozone House briefly, and what community do they serve?
So as Sarah said, we have been in this community for about 50 years now. It is our 50th anniversary. And we support youth, primarily youth 10 to 20 years old, although we are always trying to expand out and support more. And it's runaway and homeless youth, youth who are in crisis, youth who need support. Our goals are to provide safe and supportive environments for young people.
And just give me a basic idea. I know when we hear the term like youth or an at-risk youth, you know, everybody's mind goes to a different place based on their personal experience. But, you know, what are some of the reasons why these teens and others are seeking out Ozone House?
It can honestly range. We see a lot of folks showing up because of family conflict. Oftentimes it's not that they don't want to be in the home or that an adult doesn't want them there, but that there is some stuff going on that needs a little mediation and support. We also see folks who just are financially struggling. We see issues with housing. We see folks who are LGBTQ, who maybe they are in a situation where their gender identity or their sexual orientation is not being supported. Any sort of range of problems.
So basically, if you're a youth in our community and for whatever reason, home isn't the best place for your development right now and you need some help, Ozone House is there.
For sure. We're there to provide safe and supportive environments, to give young people a place to be, to have somebody to talk to. We're doing that through our crisis line. We're doing that through our drop-in center. We're doing that through our counseling, and we're doing that through our housing programs.
And that was the next question is, and maybe from your perspective, talk about some of the programs that you administer there. You know, what are you doing with these, I'm going to use the word kids, but what are you doing with these younger humans when they arrive at your doorstep?
I always say the first thing we ask is, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? You know, we talk about meeting those basic needs first. So we're trying to provide shelter. We're trying to provide food and water. And then we're also trying to provide that emotional support. A lot of times people who come to our drop-in center, which is actually located down the street in Ypsilanti, say that it creates almost a family for them. It's a place where they can feel safe. They know they have somebody to talk to. And they know they can be there.
It's an interesting dynamic. I think for somebody that has never been in a home where you don't feel safe, it's really hard to be empathetic with that, to describe how that feels to wake up every morning not knowing whether you're going to eat or whether somebody's going to hit you or whether somebody's going to treat you awfully just because of who you are or what you are. I think that you almost have to have some experience with it to be really effective at helping others with it. So thank you for doing that service, because this is tough stuff. You know, these are emotionally developmental people that need a lot of help and need a hand but don't need to be pushed, you know. So thank you. This 50 years you've been in this community, I imagine that Ozone House has changed pretty dramatically in that time. What's different now, you know, for people that, you know, might be thinking about, haven't had teenagers in the house for a while, or they, you know, it's been a while since they've really thought about these things. What's different in our community now, and how are you evolving to change to meet these new needs?
Yeah. So I would say we are both always changing and evolving and also maintaining the core of our mission. And at the heart of everything we've always done is supporting young people and creating those safe and supportive environments. Although I think the changes we've seen are around how we provide that help. So we have a lot more formalized training. We are doing a lot of work thinking about harm reduction and trauma-informed care, recognizing that young people are experiencing things that maybe some of us, as you said, some of us staff have never experienced and some have. But at the same time, regardless of our lived experience, we want to be sure to meet our young people where they're at. And when they walk in the door, we're ready to support whatever they may have been going through before they showed up.
And I know something I've struggled with as a parent is recognizing that my kids' ability to deal with things emotionally is vastly different than adults. So, you know, that whole suck it up buttercup, this ain't that bad thing that we seem to be very popularly telling teenagers, it's not all that great of advice to give. You got to feel that they're feeling that pain, and it is very real.
Oh, yeah, it's very real, and it's really important to validate someone's experience and never treat it as if it's a little deal or, you know, we say there's no problem too big or too small that we're willing to talk about, because what is something that I couldn't imagine going through because it's such an ordeal might be something that is part of someone else's regular experience.
Well, too, and you mentioned trauma, and a smaller thing that presents itself as they walk in the door might be connected to something much larger in their background that they just have never dealt with. All right, so let's get off of that. It's great to know these services are out there. It is hard to deal with the fact that, like every other community, we have these issues in our community, but glad that you're there for that help. Let's talk to somebody that's been through Ozone House's programs and is still involved after going through them. Bara, hello.
Hey, it's good to be back.
So when were you involved with Ozone House as a person walking in the door?
I was involved with them a few years ago. I believe it's been 2 or 3 years now.
So what is the goal for somebody like you? And you know, I don't want to get into personal details. You don't have to share that. It just, you know, obviously when you're walking in the door, you're just looking for help. But once you get involved with the program, where do they want to take you?
Personally.
I'm not talking about the grand you.
Right. So with me, it was to help me get back on my feet and to get out there and to be independent.
Okay.
As good as the resources and services that Ozone House provides are, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in the fact that being self-reliant is key to becoming a functioning adult in society. And it's not good to be in a position where you're constantly relying on people. That's just my philosophy. And they definitely have done a good job with preparing me for dealing with the real world.
Yeah, and I think that there's a parallel there for people that help, especially women that are victims of domestic abuse, is you got to be independent. You got to be able to mm-hmm. pay your own bills, have your own housing. I don't think people get quite how trapped you can feel when you don't know where you're going to get money to buy food or where you're going to find a roof over your head. So good beginnings there. How did they help you become more independent?
So I got set up with a case manager, and they'll actually sit down with you and work with you and make clear, defined goals. And every week they check in with you. Like, it's very organized and structured. The things that you want to accomplish, you know, it's not vague. It's like they'll sit down with you, make sure that what you have and what you're working towards is actually concrete.
So what is it that you were? Where did you end up? What did they help you achieve?
I ended up, I was there for a year, and I was able to save up enough money there to move out and get a place of my own.
Okay, and what are you doing now for work? Do you have something you love doing?
Yeah, I am a part of the Speak Out group, and I work currently at the U of M Hospital.
Oh, so what's the Speak Out group? I don't know what that is.
Speak Out, it's a homeless youth advocacy. It's an advocacy group of youth for youth. It's just another way of continuing to spread the message.
So you're putting the hand back in and holding it out to offer help to others?
That's right.
And is that common with Ozone House? I mean, Dawn, you can answer that too. It seems like you're inspiring these people to want to give the help back that they got.
Well, I would say we're not inspiring them. they are inspired themselves.
Yeah.
Often Ozone is just that boost for a lot of young folks. They have a drive, they have a desire, they have a willingness and goals that they want. And often it's just kind of connecting those dots and helping them with access to resources and support. I actually work with the Speak Out group. And so one of those things that we do at Ozone is we try to employ young people, and Speak Out is one of those opportunities. And I think for a lot of the folks who get involved there, it is this idea of we've had our own experiences. We're at a place where we are ready to talk about our experiences, and we want to help those who might be going through it currently or help prevent those who might go through it in the future, and talk to legislators, talk to elected officials, talk to our community about how we can support young people so that everyone doesn't have to always go through some sort of traumatic experience and struggle in order to get the help that they need.
Well, what a great example, too. You have this, you know, live person standing there that went through this and had, you know, life was changed by it. And we hear that a lot here about programs that especially look at at-risk youth in our community. Mentorship is incredibly important, and it seems like the common bond there is having people that have been through this or are from the same neighborhood or from the same background, had similar experiences, really, really helps. So, Barry, you can answer that. Was that useful to you to look around and see that other people went through this and they're okay?
Yeah, and definitely having other people around does give that sense of community and belonging. I definitely feel that a lot of people, young people, when they are in crisis, they do feel as if they're alone, that they're trapped, which can make an already bad situation even feel worse and overwhelming. So it's good to have other people, youth, counselors, and such around. It definitely does help having that support system and emotional support.
So big move to Ypsilanti with this new facility. It sounds like there's some great plans going on there. What kind of drove the decision to expand the footprint in Ypsilanti? Do you know, Dawn?
I can talk about this.
Oh, okay.
Sarah.
Sorry.
I can talk
sorry.
About that a little. No, I got to talk to the executive director, and she kind of talked more about the big picture of why the move to Ypsilanti. And then Dawn can chime in if I miss anything or miss say anything. One was that a big part of the population they serve is really on the east side of the county, and so it made sense to be closer. And also, they were spread out in multiple different locations. They had the older youth, like the transitional housing where Barra stayed, that's for 17 to 20 in one location, and then the youth in the 24-hour crisis line or another location. And so they were kind of both spread out, but also in like sardines. Like everybody who worked there was like 2 to 4 people per office. And it's really hard to have a confidential conversation and respect people's privacies when you have that kind of situation. So this allowed them to create a custom space that's going to have room for everybody that's there now and room to grow. So that's part of it. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to add, Dawn.
Yeah, I think Sarah said it well. We were looking for a space. We were looking for room. We were looking for space to grow. We know that we're serving a lot of folks who are on the east side of the community. We wanted to be accessible. We wanted to make it so that young people had a central location to go to, so that way services aren't spread out, so that there's less barriers to getting services. And really, we had outgrown the space we were in, you know, and there's just not the real estate really to grow where we were. And so it was time to have our quality of space match our quality of services.
Out of curiosity, do you ever have goals of reconciliation? Like if you believe that the parental relationship can be rebuilt, you know, do you go in that direction?
For sure. Actually, that is the primary goal of our emergency shelter program. So in that one, we are serving youth 10 to 17, and we are not necessarily looking to have those young people become independent, but we are trying to empower them in their own life to be kind of interdependent with the adults in their life. And so we actually do family counseling during those sessions and during that program to help kind of grow those relationships, because we know that the goal is to create safety in multiple environments and really bring that safety back to the home.
And are you finding that in some cases parents are just as lost, like they don't know how to get these kids the help that they need just as much as the kids don't know where to get the help they need?
Oh, absolutely. I would say even within so we have a 24-hour call center crisis line, and we have probably at least a third of those calls are coming from adults who are working with young people or living with young people, trying to get support, trying to get help, trying to make their home environment better.
So is this going to make Ozone House's footprint larger in our community? Is this eventually going to lead to you offering more resources to people in that age range in Washtenaw County and beyond?
I certainly hope so. I think that, one, we will actually have the physical capacity to house more young people. Certainly that's going to be dependent on our staffing capacity as well, but we have room to grow in that space. And I think we're just going to see young people having some more independence, some more ownership of their own lives, because they're going to have their own private space at times when they need it. And really just hoping for even better outcomes than we're seeing even right now.
One of the things they're going to be able to do at the new location that they can't do at their current location is daytime drop-in hours. So if somebody doesn't need the residential program, but they want to stop in and take a shower, do their laundry, they'll be able to do that at the new space as well.
And just out of curiosity, if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, man, I really want to be involved in this. This sounds like a great resource in our community, whether in person or, you know, by offering donations or by giving money. How do people get involved at a service level with Ozone House?
I mean, we definitely, within our website, we have an option to donate to us. We currently are running our holiday giving campaign. We provide supports to as many of the folks that we're serving as possible during that. But there are also volunteer opportunities that show up. But really, go to our website, ozonehouse.org. There's an opportunity to say donate, volunteer, how do you help? And there's a whole drop down of options available to folks.
And Barra, if you had one thing you wanted, one message you wanted to pass along to anybody listening right now who might be thinking, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to ask for help, I don't know if things are going to be okay, you know, what is it that you share when you're speaking out?
That we're here for you. We're here for the youth. We're here for them. And they can always call the crisis line number, which is 734-662-2222.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for being here to share your story. And Dawn, thanks so much for what you do in our community. And thanks for coming here today to talk about this. Sarah, thanks for doing this story. I've been wanting to talk to folks at Ozone House for quite a long time. Always was curious about how it came to be and what they do in our community. So I'm glad you had them here today. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun to get a tour of the building while it was still in process, too.
And Doug's got some good pictures to share.
Yeah, Doug and I both went in while it was still under construction. He got some great shots.
So remember, you can find the great work that Sarah and all the other folks at Concentrate Media do in our community at concentratemedia.com. We'll make sure to link this over at WEMU.org as well. Do you have, and all those phone numbers and email addresses and websites you just heard, you don't have to remember those. Don't worry about writing them down. Just remember, go to the website. We'll have all that information there for you. Sarah, do you know what you're doing next week?
I do. There is a spiritual community that established itself in Ypsilanti, and it just celebrated its fifth anniversary on the end of October, and so we're going to be talking to them a little bit about the history and their what they offer to the Ypsilanti community.
Great. Look forward to chatting with you next week about that, and you can hear On the Ground Ypsi each Wednesday morning on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.